Blog Talk Radio.
I know that's some snappy music, but it does sound a little bit like it was done on a Casio. So I'm going to have to, I'm still in search of some intro music. I talked to a couple of pals about helping me out. And we did run some original music in the very beginning of Average Joe. For a good friend of mine, Brad Horde, had done that for me. And he'd probably do it again, but I just keep hate to keep asking, you know, for a freebie and from the same person. But I am, because my budget is zero, and this show costs me basically zero to do, and I don't have any sponsors, and that's a hint there. If anybody wants to sponsor me, we may go to a longer show with more features. But anyway, Average Joe here. Welcome to Average Joe Radio. Thanks for listening this evening. We're going to talk about Jeeps. Jeep, the myth, the legend. Maybe not so much the myth, but definitely the legend. Jeeps have been around since, really the late 30s, and became most famous, I guess you could say, or most earned their reputation first in World War II. So we're going to get to that. First of all, this day in history, Rosa Parks. I bet you heard of that name before. If you didn't, you probably need to go back to school. Ignites the bus boycott in Montgomery, Alabama. Rosa Parks is jailed for refusing to give up her seat on a public bus to a white man, a violation of the city's racial segregation laws. The successful Montgomery bus boycott, organized by a young Baptist minister named Martin Luther King Jr., ever heard of that guy? He followed Parks' historic act of civil disobedience. The mother of the civil rights movement, as Rosa Parks is known, was born in Tuskegee, Alabama in 1913. She worked as a seamstress, and in 1943 joined the Montgomery chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. A.K.A. NAACP. According to a Montgomery City ordinance in 1955, African Americans were required to sit at the back of public buses and were also obligated to give up those seats to white riders if the front of the bus filled up. Parks was in the first row of the black section when the white driver demanded that she give up her seat to a white man. Parks' refusal was spontaneous, but was not merely brought on by her tired feet, as in the popular legend. In fact, local civil rights leaders had been planning a challenge to Montgomery's racist bus laws for several months, and Parks had been privy to this discussion. Learning of Parks' arrest, the NAACP and other African-American activists immediately called for a bus boycott to be held by black citizens on Monday, December 5th. Word was spread by flyers, and activists formed the Montgomery Improvement Association to organize the protest. The first day of the bus boycott was a great success, and that night, the 26-year-old Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. told a large crowd gathered at a church, "The great glory of American democracy is the right to protest for right." King emerged as the leader of the bus boycott and received numerous death threats from opponents of integration. At one point, his home was bombed, but he and his family escaped bodily harm. There's some more information here, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I think we get the idea. So that was definitely a notable day in history. So I'm Mr. Scott.
Oh no, am I unmuted?
You are.
Okay, I was speaking quickly with Sherry, baby, but I'm here now. How you is?
You want me to mute you?
Say again, please.
You want me to cut you off?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. Press on.
Okay, sorry.
I was working too many folks at once. Good to hear you.
This show is unscripted.
It's the best kind,
sort of.
I guess.
So the scene
I like
that we're
the
going
you
to
got
talk
started,
about.
But, press
huh?
on, please. What I've heard. Go ahead.
Yeah, we won't necessarily require a comment at any particular time, but you know, anytime you're feeling froggy, feel free to jump.
Okay. Cool.
So, first of all, I want to start the show by opening a refreshing beverage.
What in the world? Who is this? Wrong number. Hang up.
It's a Diet Pepsi.
Okay, good. Sounded good.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about Jeeps, but I do want to mention, of course, Thanksgiving. We just had it. And most everybody in these great United States of America probably did something in recognition of that day. We had the traditional turkey meal, and I've got a little short tale about that. We had actually bought a turkey last December. That was on sale after Christmas, and it was fresh. So we just brought it home and put it in the deep freezer and said, well, we'll have this eventually sometime this year. Well, we never did have it, so come Monday night, I went took that turkey out of the freezer and put him in the refrigerator to start thawing. And then Wednesday night, we put him – he still needed some more thawing he needed to be accelerated in the thawing process, so we put him in a sink full of water and left him for the night. And then I got up the next morning, and he was thawed, but he smelled kind of funny. So, and the meat looked a little bit odd. And, you know, I was a little, actually, average, above average. Joe's the one that noticed it. And so we're, like, scratching her head, like, man, you know, I don't know. Is this going to be okay, you know? It's been in the freezer for almost a year, so obviously we just left it in the freezer too long. So anyway, long story short, I had had to scramble and figure out what we were going to do. We actually had a ham that we were going to cook, but above average Joe, she's got to have her turkey on Thanksgiving, so because she was going to make stuffing, she already planned on all that. So here I go to one of the local grocery stores and to see if they got any fresh turkeys. Well, the first one, they don't have any fresh turkeys. They got some breasticles, and I knew that wasn't going to work because I knew above average Joe, she's a dark meat gal. So I said, well, I really don't want to drive around all the grocery stores, so I got on the World Wide Web and started calling grocery stores, and in good old Harry's Teeter, they always come in for me. They had four fresh turkeys.
You did this on
about,
Thursday?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, this was on Thursday you did all this?
Yeah, Thursday morning.
Good save, man.
And we were going to have turkey for lunch.
Right.
So I had to scramble. Fortunately, I got up early. And so I asked him if they'd hold one for me. They had four. And I told them I'll be there shortly, and they said okay. So I went there, and they actually still had all four, but they did put one aside for me, and I got my turkey. So that was round one of the great Thanksgiving escapade of 2019. Well, the day or two before, we had bought groceries and we had gotten the ingredients to make a particular stuffed bell pepper recipe. Some of our family doesn't eat meat, so we had to have something for them. And so we had this Thai lime rice peppers or something like that. So I go to Harry's Theater again, and so this is my second trip to town, And they have the right brand, but they don't have that particular flavor. So it's actually that microwavable rice that you get, you know, that you just pop it in the microwave, just a pouch. And so they didn't have, so I just went ahead and got some white rice, and I said, well, I'll go up 52 here to Food Line, see what they got. Well, they had some lime cilantro rice, but it was a different brand. So I thought, well, I'll get that just as a backup. So I went on to across town to Ingles. Well, they didn't have anything
what
close.
What was it by now about?
I don't know. It's maybe, 9:30, 10 o'clock.
You're on it, brother. You're on it.
Yeah. So I go to Ingles. They didn't have anything close. Went to Wally World. For those of you not from the South, that's Walmart. And they didn't have, it was amazing how little they had. I mean, if you want groceries, you need to go to a grocery store. Like Walmart, they got lots of stuff, but they don't necessarily have the best selection. So anyway, so we ended up using the white rice and the backup cilantro lime rice, and, you know, everybody was happy and all our dreams came true. But, you know, so actually I made a trip to a total of 6 grocery stores on Thanksgiving morning. And, boy, that was fun.
Oh,
I was
my
really
goodness.
Just trying to keep everybody happy. Anyway, did you have any unusual happenings? I know you had to travel a little bit.
Ours was clockwork and perfect, brother. Nothing at all like that. All we had to do was show up and eat too much, come home, take a nap, and eat the rest of the leftovers. We did very well.
I like that technique.
Yeah, we had nothing like that.
Our
we
house
had a scavenger
we
hunt.
Cook. Pardon me?
You had a scavenger hunt from heck. Dang.
Anyway, it was quite an adventure. Pardon me?
I'm glad you got it done. That's a lot of doing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I keep talking over you, and then I can't hear what you're saying. And
I'm not saying anything.
No, you keep talking, man. I like having you here, you know, Mr. Ed McMahon.
Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you. let's see. That turkey was so tender.
Good job. How tender was it?
There, thank you. That was
we'll be here all week.
The audience, but since the audience isn't, at least they're not here, they're not in front of me anyway. By the way, audience, if you want to call in, 914-219-0884. That's the number. So let's go ahead and talk about Jeeps. I have got a wealth of information on Jeeps, and I had actually, before I was preparing for this show, I've always been a big fan of old military Jeeps. Now, I'm not talking about what people, you know, what soccer moms are driving around in now that has the word Jeep on it. Those aren't Jeeps. Those are Chryslers that say Jeep on them. That's really what it comes down to. But not kicking Chrysler, because, you know, I'm sure they make some fine automobiles, but they're not Jeeps. When I was a kid, my uncle and aunt and cousins, they all lived up in Kentucky, and the weather's known to get a little, you know, rough in the mountains of Kentucky. He was a coal miner, and so he lived in the deep woods of the mountains of Kentucky, and so they had a Jeep, because in the wintertime, if you didn't have some kind of vehicle that could go, you know, regardless of the weather, you were not going to be going very far. And
a surplus Willys type situation?
Well, it was actually about a 67 model. It was not a military surplus Jeep. It was actually a civilian model.
Cool.
And they had the rag top on it and the sides and everything. And so I remember going up to Kentucky at least once when I was, I think I was probably about 3 years old, and riding in that Jeep. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. I mean, you know, I was three, but, you know. My cousin drove the Jeep later in life. It was kind of his college vehicle. And he showed up when we lived at another place here in Stanley County. He showed up just out of the blue at the back door, and it was raining, and he was soaking wet. And he had been in that Jeep. Yep, same Jeep.
Cool.
Now, this is when I was like 5 or 6 years old, so it wasn't that much later.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah. He was in the same Jeep, but he was soaking wet. It had been raining outside, and Jeeps aren't like, you know, like a modern convertible where you just push a button and the top comes up, or, you know, your convertible. You have to get out and actually kind of assemble the top, you know, to put it on there. So he got caught in the rain and got soaked and showed up at the back door. But anyway, during that visit of that weekend or whenever it was, he ended up getting a ride in that Jeep a little bit, going out to the old Stanley County Airport. And he was a pilot, too, so that made him extra cool. And that was just some good memories that I have of Jeeps. You got any interjection there, Mr. Scott?
No, sir. Originally, I thought none at all. I've never owned a Jeep, but when I grow up, I really want to. I never realized that. Until one of the people I worked for, that was a survey vehicle they used, were Wranglers of some type. Little four cylinders. One was a straight six. One was a 2000 model. And the beater I had was a 98, 2-point-something liter Hurricane, they called it. And it would go anywhere. If we could have made a Jeep commercial, I wish we could have, because what we were doing was staking out, you know, while surveying. In the commission of my surveying career, we're staking out a road for them, for the people to come clear, road builders. And they were driving big giant Chevrolet Z71s, and big nice Fords, and they looked like Ford commercials and Chevrolet commercials. But what we would typically do would be go into an area, and if there's any access at all, it was typically an old logging road, which has grown up. But the Jeeps went everywhere. The whole, well, there's only two of them in the fleet. And we were consistently about a mile ahead and 200 or 300 feet above the Like a Rock Chevrolet commercials, because their stuff was all brand new. But ours was just happened to take the mule trail up to the top of the mountain, because we had to be there ahead of them, of course, to stake where they cleared, where they cut, and all that. But not having to walk to that place was the first time I'd ever experienced that. And I said, man, this is awesome. They were so short and just powerful enough to not get you in trouble, I guess. That's the only Jeep I'd ever driven. It was 5-speed, 2-liter, 2-point-something, seems like. And it was just the perfect animal for doing what we were doing at the time.
Well, that's the kind of the secret, and I'll get into a little bit of the history. We're not going to have time to get into a lot of deep history, but I'll get into a little history where the Jeep came, why it was developed by the military, or for the military. It was light. The military required it to be, I think the original specs was like 2,100 pounds maximum. And then they're narrow and they're short, and so they can get in and out of places that, you know, most, you know, like pickup truck four-wheel drives can't get in and out of.
I had to see that to believe it. I believe you, brother. Until I saw it illustrated so perfectly, I wouldn't have understood. But they got that.
Now, the more modern Wrangler type, you know, CJs, or I don't know what the weight class is on those, and actually after the first very first prototypes were done, they had actually, because they had to meet these, it was Bantam and Willis and Ford were kind of competing for the contract, and they had to actually shorten the bolts on and do certain things to try to lighten the load just to make the weight specs on it. Once they got the contract, they actually added all that stuff back in, and I guess the military was okay with that because they just needed to do that. But I'll get into that just a little bit more. I've really kind of stolen my own thunder there. But one thing I wanted to mention is the Land Rover. If you look at any of the Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom or any of those safari shows where they got Land Rovers out there in Africa somewhere, if you notice the front of those Land Rovers look a lot like a Jeep. They have the fenders kind of stick out a little further at the front, but they are definitely, there seems to be some relation there. And there actually is a relation in that the Brits, they needed to develop a vehicle. Even though they were using American Jeeps, they used the original Jeep chassis and the axles from the Jeeps, you know, the same frame and axles to develop the first Land Rover. So they're kind of like cousins. I don't know if they use the same engines or not, because the Land Rovers are actually heavier. They're a bigger vehicle.
Okay.
My daddy, I'm going to get all this personal stuff in about Jeeps first before I even try to get into the history of it, because this is important to me. My dad, he was in the Korean War he was actually in overseas about 17 months, and he actually drove a Jeep. That was his job. He drove, it was an M38A, and that was a 50, probably 53 to 54 model era Jeep in the Korean era, and they were designated as the M38A. His job was basically he was a medic, in that he was not a doctor, but he was just kind of a, I guess you could compare it with a an EMT these days, that he would go and, well, his original job was to go and pick up injured people, but he never did actually do much of that. Most of what he actually did was haul officers around. He ended up just kind of being a chauffeur, hauling you know, the big hats around. And but he was fine with that, you know. He liked doing that, and that's one of the reasons I think that my dad, he always liked Jeeps then, and we talked every time we'd see one in town or somewhere, we'd go, oh man, look at that Jeep, you know, and we'd just want to crawl all over it and look at it and just thought they were the coolest thing. But unfortunately, I've never owned an old Jeep like that. I would love to, hadn't give up on the idea yet. I have actually owned some, I guess you could call them Jeeps. I had a Cherokee, which was the one of the first, well, it was actually the first four-door SUV. And that was, I had a Cherokee, and then I had a Liberty, and then I had a Grand Cherokee. I actually still have the Grand Cherokee, which is a, you know, a big version of the Cherokee with a V8 and, you know, drinks lots of gas. But it runs good. So feel free to jump in there, Mr. Scott. I'm rambling, I know.
That's ramble on, brother. Sounds like you must have had 318 if it was a gas drinker.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. The current one does have a 318, but and it does like gas, but boy, it'll run. I had to pull a U-Haul trailer back from Atlanta back a few weeks ago. Man, it didn't even hardly know it was back there. It did very well.
Cool.
Okay.
I think the Chargers may have had those, the ones that the State Boys originally started using. I know for a fact one was a 318 that worked out here on 421, and it was an awesome racket when they got onto it, and they didn't do it any more often than they had to. But one of them told me that's what they had then, and that was when this current body style came out. So, I don't know, 10 years old, I don't know what they have anymore. I know the Chargers have four-wheel drive now, which is interesting.
Chargers?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be good
kind
for
of a Jeep-like topic.
Yeah.
318 took me down a strange trail, but yeah.
So Jeep, as of, I think 2016 was the 75th anniversary of the brand. It's, let's see, July 16th, 1941, Willis Overland Motor Company of Toledo, Ohio, received the first contract to produce the Willis MB for use by the American military. A public celebration. Oh, no, I don't need to read that. Its early history is legendary. Its role in helping defeat the Axis powers during World War II is undeniable. On the battlefield, the Jeep was fast, nimble, and tough. And speaking of that, when you were talking about the four-cylinder engine, you know, they did have four-cylinder engines, and not a whole lot of horsepower. I don't remember the original, and I hadn't seen any in my documentation here of the horsepower, but you don't have to have a lot of horsepower if you've got the proper gearing. An old farmer told me one time you could pull a stump out of the ground with an alarm clock if it's geared properly. And he's right. It might
cool.
not be
never
very fast,
that.
But it's... Huh?
Yeah, that's cool. I have never heard that. That's quite
yeah,
cool.
I thought that was a good one, too.
Well, I wish I could condense this, but when Sherry and I first moved up here in 1990, we were on top of Beach Mountain trying to do some cross-country skiing in my 76 Blazer. This was in 1990, and I got it stuck as you could, just as quick as I got there. And an older gentleman came out, and it looked like a surplus MASH-type Jeep. And it was no degrees, million-mile-an-hour wind chill and all that. And there was no top on it. And he came and hooked to the fender, or a bumper, right front bumper, pulled us right out.
Mm-hmm.
I was floundering all over the place in my big 76 Blazer, King of the Mountain, and as soon as I got there, I got stuck. But thankfully, he came out, and it was even olive drab, but I don't know what they, I can't speak to whether it was old or not. But that was what got us back on the road that day. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I had actually, my neighbor has a towing service, and he keeps some of his old cars over here behind our property. And one time when it snowed, had a good snow. We had probably a foot of snow, which was unusual in these parts. And he was down there in his tow truck at the behind the house down there, and it was like an F, or not an F, but it was like a ton or ton and a half truck, you know, with a wrecker body on it. But he didn't have four wheel drive, and he got stuck. So I went down there with my Liberty, and you know, I didn't have any big fancy mud tires, but I put it in granny low and put the tow rope on him, and I got him out of there. I was proud
cool.
of that. I got the tow truck out.
Cool.
So that was cool. But yeah, I mean, like I say, the gearing is what it's all about. And going back to the weight, you know, having them so light, if the military Jeeps, if they did get stuck, they were so light that if you had enough soldiers, they could just about pick it up and get it out, you know. And so I'm sure there was times that they did get stuck, you know, but they were not hard to free, you know, because they were so so light. They used them to tow anti-tank weapons that could be deployed quickly. They mounted machine guns on them. They made ambulances out of them. I mean, they had everything on those Jeeps. Yeah, it served as an ambulance. It forded rivers, traversed lakes. It came ashore on D-Day. It carried the Allies all the way to Berlin and on the Guadalcanal and into Iwo Jima, and eventually on mainland shores of a defeated Japan. We've just about run out of time. I know I talked about Thanksgiving and my turkey story, but that's okay.
That was a very good effort. You did good. Not an effort. That was a good accomplishment.
But, you know, I could go on and on, and I like to say, I got tons of information about Jeeps. If you're at least a bit interested in Jeeps, I mean, there's YouTube videos about them. There's all kind of articles and reviews. I mean, just the history of Jeep. And they were the precursor. They used Jeeps, I think they used them up into at least the 80s in the military. And then I'm not sure exactly what year it was, and I could be a little off on that. But then they came out with the Humvee or the Hummer, and that's what they use now, which is a totally different philosophy, if you will, because Hummers definitely ain't small. So you're not going to take a Hummer down through the jungle in between trees like you would a Jeep. And maybe they have specialty vehicles for doing that very thing, but Hummers are basically just trucks. I mean, they're, you know, big, tough V8 vehicles. Man, we ran out of time in a hurry. But I knew we would. I knew. I just wanted to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit and the turkey story and, you know.
That's
I knew it would
book.
Be a riveting, riveting tale.
It was, man. That's quite cool.
So what you got going on this week there, Mr. Scott?
It's supposed to be a typical five-day work week, and then now they're talking about snow tomorrow morning, winter storm warning for Virginia counties, but not here, so... Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll either go to work, and typical work day, or sit here and, well, we won't freeze, but we may starve. We'll be
all right. Big back to reality, basically, you know. No short work week.
It's going to be awful.
You know, I was kind of hoping our buddy, my mind went blank. He called in about he has a huge military collection. He had, you know, the German uniforms and all that.
Yeah,
you remember him talking about.
Oh, yeah, I hope we get to hear from him again.
Yeah, I'm friends with him on Facebook, and I completely drew a blank. But I'm
okay,
sure
cool.
He would have a lot to add. I should have contacted him ahead of time. And said, hey, man, what you got on Jeeps? But, you know, I ended up yapping enough anyway, so.
Clearly. No, it's cool. I'm glad you have contact with that guy. He sounded cool.
Yeah. But anyway, well, thanks for helping out there, Mr. Scott, again, and as always. And
thanks for having us.
The next invite will be sealed, hermetically sealed in a mayonnaise jar, buried in the creek. Down below your house at Deep Gap.
I hear you, Carmack. The magnificent.
All right. Well, listen. I thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.